raising funds as well as bringing you some information, the latest news and information from the Hacker Underground. So do stay tuned for that. And right after that, Barbara Nimri Aziz has a Tahrir special. We'll be carrying you all the way until the midnight hour. So please stay tuned. Keep your dial right where it is at 99.5 FM, WBAI, listener-sponsored commercial-free community radio. And pledge, and we hope that you will. And the number to call, just I don't know how Emmanuel runs these things. I don't know if he's, you know, kind of guy that wants to say the number 100 million times at you to get you to pledge. But just so you know, it is 212-209-2950. Coming up next, Off the Hook.
And the time is 7:09. Well, there's two ways of looking at it. We're either 51 minutes early or 9 minutes late, but regardless, time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse.
I'll give you a dollar if, Laszlo, you know what this is from.
A movie.
No, no, no. You're wrong on that, too.
I don't have this album. Is this new?
No, it's not, actually. It's pretty old.
This is from a war.
I'll give you a hint. It's from a TV show. How about that?
Oh. Was Bob Hope on it?
No.
I wasn't really allowed to watch TV in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, huh? Well, that just goes to show you that you have to come to the big city to be enlightened. And in a moment you will be.
Green Acres?
No. Isaac, I bet you know what that was from.
That was a very nice march for me to get the papers down the hall.
Well, no, we sent you on an errand during that march, but yes. You really don't know what TV show this is from.
Fill me in.
Well, that would be too easy.
Hogan's Heroes.
Well, that's my guess. Fill me in.
No.
It's on the BBC.
This is Music from the Prisoner.
Ah,
Volume
excellent.
3 of a soundtrack that I found. And I think it's appropriate enough, because that's what I felt like today driving in here. You know, it's not a subway series at all. It's an expressway series, and it's not very express at that either.
I took mass transportation and didn't have any problem.
Yeah, okay, great.
Same here.
Wonderful. But I didn't have that option, okay, because mass transportation takes longer than driving from where I am, except on days like this. World Series. Who needs the World Series, really?
The world without the World
Yesterday was a travel day. Can you believe that? Yesterday was considered a travel day from Yankee Stadium to Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
Why can't they just do the whole thing at once and get it over with? I mean, everyone's in town, so let's just do it.
Do you think anybody's going to be listening in 15 minutes?
For what 15 minutes?
Well, isn't there a game tonight?
Well, yeah, there's a game at 8 o'clock, I think. But they don't, by the time, like, you know, they start with all the commercials and, you know, all the intros and things like that, it's closer to, like, 9:30. I mean, they had a game that lasted, like, 5 hours the other night, so it's... It's unbelievable. Anyway, this is a special edition of Off the Hook. We're usually on from 8 to 9. Today we're on from 7 to 9. Two-hour show. We might have said a three-hour show a couple of weeks ago, but we meant to say a two-hour show because that's what we're having tonight.
120 minutes of hacking excitement.
Yeah. We'll be talking all about the hacking experience. Now, Laszlo, you have a sticker that says Laz for New York.
Yeah.
How did you manage that?
Well, my friends, since my name is Laszlo, my friends keep butchering, they steal Lazio signs and put them in my front yard. So, and then all my neighbors think that
all you have to do is change the I to an L.
Yeah. And put a W on
the end. Technically you have a W at the end, but, you know, nobody knows that.
Right.
You write that in, like, crayon or something.
So I would appreciate your vote.
You know what that bonehead did? I was driving on the expressway, stapled Lazio signs to trees on the parkway. Now, that's the kind of candidate you want to vote for, someone who staples signs to trees?
I'm pretty sure somebody did that for him.
Well, obviously someone did it for him, but I don't know. I think it kind of typifies some things there. I hate all these political signs going up everywhere.
It's kind of a waste of paper.
Take a bulldozer to the whole thing. Anyway, we have some special things to go over tonight. If you want to just get it over with and pledge right away, we have
It'll
some.
Make our lives easier.
We have a phone number for you: 212-209-2950. Now we do this several times a year. It might seem like we do it all the time, but actually, it's really only three shows, I believe, a year, if that many. And it's necessary because we need to keep the station going in order to continue doing shows like this. You might notice that we don't have commercials, and you might also know through your knowledge of radio and the whole system of commerce that commercials pay for radio stations because that's how they make their money, and they make a lot of money too. Well, we don't make a lot of money. We basically survive, but in order to survive, we have to have a source of income. And while we'd like to pour our life savings into the place... Even if we did, I don't think it would be enough. It cost an awful lot of money to keep a radio station going. And if you've gotten anything out of the place, and I believe you have if you're listening, then why not give a call and invest something in that radio station? 212-209-2950 is the phone number. Now, we have several things that we'll be going into a little bit more detail in just a couple of moments. The first package that we have is a $75 pledge, which will get you one of the increasingly rare H2K caps, of which you might see one on my head right yes. now. You see this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite spiffy looking.
This hat, I got to tell you, of all the hats I have, this is the most comfortable hat. We got a special type that fits all heads. And I have an irregular head. It doesn't take kindly to many hats. This one, it fits just fine. You can't take this off my head. It's you know, it's there for good.
You know, ever since H2K, I've noticed that I've always seen you in that hat.
Yeah, because this is the hat for me. I'm extremely comfortable with it. And the message on it is not something that I'm ashamed of. H2K was a lot of fun. We all had a great time. And it's something I'd like to remember. And occasionally people walk up to me and say, H2K, I know what that means. You know, and...
I have the sticker on my laptop.
You got a sticker, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. We do have some stickers as well. I'm glad you mentioned that, because a special offer, everybody who pledges tonight. I mean, everybody, because we'll get the names, and we'll send this to everybody who pledges. We'll send them some stickers, a couple of stickers, a couple of H2K stickers. They look like the foreign car stickers, you know, that have like...
GB.
Yeah, two-letter abbreviations right. for countries. Well, this is H2K, and you can stick that on your car or on your wall or whatever it is you want to stick it on. And it'll just be a memento. And we do have a limited number of those as well, because we're trying to clear out the warehouse of any leftover merchandise. We're already out of shirts. They're gone.
Oh, really? Yeah. Those black ones?
Yeah, they're gone. They're gone like that. Otherwise, we would have had them tonight, but we don't have any anymore.
There were cases of those at H2K.
I know. They go fast. When you tell people that you know, that this is it, we're not making any more, they go pretty fast. And a lot of people wanted them.
What you're saying, Emmanuel, is that the rest of this stuff, people should snap up quickly.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, and I'm not threatening here. I don't want to do that, but I'm saying that if you don't get the baseball cap soon... You're not going to get it at all, because it's not going to be made again. And the next conference isn't going to be called H2K, so, you know, it's not going to say H2K on it. That's just the way it is. For a $75 pledge, you don't just get the hat. I mean, you know, it'd be nice, you know, if you pledge just to pledge, because that's the whole purpose of this thing is to pledge. We have no calls on the line, by the way, so obviously this isn't working.
Shame. I should say the phone number again so people can get their H2K hat. It's 212-209-2950.
That's right, 212-209-2950. In addition to the baseball cap, we have a very special offer that has never been made before. And this comes along with that $75 pledge. Do you recall the keynote speaker at H2K?
Yeah, in fact, I was looking at footage of... his speech at the Nader rally.
You're kidding. They showed footage of...
It's on the internet.
Oh, you mean the Nader speech? Okay. I thought you were referring to the keynote speech H2K was being shown at the Nader rally.
No, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be very cool.
But,
it was
no,
a good speech, but I don't know if they would do that.
But that was Jello Biafra.
That was Jello Biafra. You're damn right it was.
There's always room for Jello.
That's right. And basically, Jello is very good food for thought. Definitely.
Yeah.
All the time.
We could go with, like, puns like this
yeah,
all
we
night.
Could, we,
That's
we,
not
could,
bad.
We could keep going, but let's not. We have the videotape of Jello Biafra's speech, which has not yet been released. It's not yet been put on the web. Basically, we're offering the videotape. It has not yet gone on sale. So we're offering that as part of this premium for $75. And we're going to play a piece of it right now, in fact, so you know exactly what it is you're getting into. If you've never heard Jello Biafra speak, It's quite a thought-provoking experience. He goes through all kinds of different topics. And considering this is a guy who doesn't even have a computer, has never used a computer, I thought he was amazingly on target with a lot of his computer points. He'll get some of the technical phrases wrong, but as far as the key issue, I'll take the key issues any day over the technical phrases. And whether or not you agree with him, I don't think that's really the point. I think it gets you to think, and that's what it's all about. So for a $75 pledge, 212-209-2950, you get the H2K cap, and you get a exclusive videotape of Jello Biafra's keynote speech. And that's not all. That's not all.
But wait, there's more?
There's more. Well, first of all, we already mentioned the stickers, which anybody can call in for any pledge amount.
You mean, if I pledge a dollar, will I get a sticker, Emmanuel?
Well, I prefer people pledge something that's worth the postage to send out a reminder, you know. So basically, if you can only afford to spend a dollar, you probably shouldn't be pledging it to us. That's my view on that. Not that we look down on small amounts like that. I mean, we'll take a $10 pledge. No problem there. But you know, we also want to look out for our listeners' interests, and you know, pledge whatever you can afford. But basically, this is what we can offer for that amount, because it is a donation on our part as well. And it's basically the baseball cap with H2K logo, the videotape with Jello Biafra, the stickers, and this is the cool part. I've learned that Jello's next album, which should be out sometime in November, is going to include excerpts from the H2K speech.
Wow.
So we're going to get a bunch of those as well and send those to everybody who pledges $25 or more. So we'll just have a lot of those CDs when they come out sent to everybody who pledges $25 or more. And that's in addition to anything else you might be getting. So if you want to get a lot of stuff, $75, you'll get the free CD, the free stickers, the baseball cap, and the videotape of the Jello Biafra speech. So that's a pretty good deal, I think.
That's a very good deal.
So why is nobody calling? 212-209-2950. What do we have to do to get people to wake up here? This is important stuff.
I've got it right here.
All right.
Well, my esteemed colleague Isaac thinks that the glad hand of capitalism can do no wrong. Many people know that the invisible hand of the marketplace gives a lot of us the finger. So tonight is about media consolidation, and I printed out before I got on the mass transportation that is provided in New York.
Very efficient means of getting here.
Very efficient. I printed out 5 pages of all the radio stations owned by just Clear Channel, AM/FM Clear Channel.
Yeah.
We only have 2 hours.
Well, here's what I was thinking.
Wait, now Clear Channel owns over 1,000 radio stations.
897.
I heard they just merged with somebody else and they're over 1,000 now.
Well, the official website has only got 897.
They can't keep up with their own takeovers and mergers.
Right, 897 stations.
One call on the line. 212-209-2950. Make that 2 calls. Make that 5 calls.
So here's what I was thinking. How about I go market by market and read off all the call letters of the 897 stations? You think that'd just drive people crazy?
I think it would drive people crazy. But now, how big a presence does Clear Channel have in New York? Is it a huge presence, or just a fairly minor, trivial, like 3 stations or less type of presence, which when you think of it is insane?
Actually, the company that owns a lot of the major stations in the larger markets,
2 calls
is Infinity.
Uh-huh.
They tend to own like the 1010 Winds and the K-Rock and the...
Let's go into what they own. Who owns what stations in this city after we hear the Jello Biafra piece? We have 3 calls on the line. 212-209-2950, excuse me. That's our special pledge line, 212-209-2950. Now, again, for a pledge of $75, you'll get the videotape of Jello Biafra's keynote speech at H2K, which is a pretty historical event, I think. He spoke for over an hour nonstop on all kinds of issues and was received very well, woke up a lot of people. And he was woken up by hackers as well, and I thought it was a good combination. In addition, you'll get some more H2K memorabilia in the form of a H2K official hat and a sticker and the upcoming CD that Jello Biafra will put out. That's for anybody pledging $25 or more. So let's hear a piece of the Jello Biafra speech, which took place July 15th, 2000, at Hotel Pennsylvania in New York. Again, I have to apologize for the sound quality here. Let me assure you, it will sound so much better than this. I recorded it onto a little tiny Radio Shack tape recorder, and it's kind of distorted, and hopefully it'll be coming out of both channels. But what you'll get is something that sounds really good and comes out of both channels and has video attached to it because it's a videotape.
It's like you're in the room.
Yeah, exactly. And he'll look right at your eyes, too. He'll look right into the TV set.
And you can get this tape for what?
That's for a $75 pledge. 212-209-2950. Again, everybody over 25 gets the free CD, and everybody gets a sticker. So we want to make sure people are happy. All right, let's listen to Jello Biafra for a couple of minutes, and then we'll be right back here on Off the Hook. Okay, we're having... Oh, look at that. Oh, you know what happened? I see what happened. We have the input. Oh, that's kind of cool, isn't it? All right. I have to press... No, that button doesn't work. Yeah. All right. I have to hit a button here to get us out of this mode.
Oh, you know what? Oh, I see what I'm doing now.
Okay, now, wouldn't you think that that tape number two would be below tape number one? Well, it's not. It's above it. So that's why. Cassette one is below cassette two. Okay, my mistake.
Dude, that sound, I was having a flashback to the Detroit Dead Show.
I was actually going through the... Wow, look at that. It made fiber appear.
Hey, how are you?
It just could have warped in during that whole experience.
I'm tape three.
Wow. Okay, let's try to do this a little better. Okay, I hit the button, and the machine has failed to play, so now I'm going to hit the other backup button. Okay, I hear the hiss, so this is going to work. Jello Biafra here, 212-209-2950.
And I mean, it's more and more like corporate, like the corporations. You get more and more people having to wear corporate logos on their clothes because it's the only clothes you can find at the store. In San Francisco, the new sports stadium for the baseball team is named after not Willie Mays or a famous silly civic figure. It is named after the phone company. And, what are some of the other ones? Coors Field in Denver, across the highway from the Pepsi Center, where the basketball and hockey team plays, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all named after corporations. And they get real heavy-handed about this sometimes, too. How many of you heard about, I guess it was 2 years ago now, a kid in a high school in Georgia was suspended for wearing a Pepsi t-shirt on Coca-Cola Day? That's getting heavy-handed, if you ask me. And in this situation, for those of you who haven't heard about this, globalization has come to my house, too. The former members of my old band, Dead Kennedys, sued me, clear through a trial and everything, claiming that they wrote all my songs and somehow didn't notice the credits on the record saying who really wrote the songs for 20 years, and claimed there was this huge conspiracy to hide money from them. Yes, there was an accounting error. I blew it there, but they were paid. The real motive being, I wouldn't let them put Holiday in Cambodia in a Levi's commercial. Dockers, no less. The ugly part was that, to the astonishment of almost everyone in the courtroom, I think even them, the jury believed them on this. So if the ruling stands, they own my songs, and I owe them $200,000 damages for lack of promotion, if you can believe that. And being nearly broke on account of this, I may need some help getting out of it. That is the situation I'm in, rather than being able to concentrate on new music and all. Right at a time when our corporate lords and their little puppets and agents in government also have decided, you know, we better crack down and dumb down the internet. There's just too goddamn much pornography out there. What do we define as pornography? Things that criticize our owners, for example. We can't have that. And so the concept is, I don't know if this is even technologically possible in this day and age, and maybe it's your job to make sure it isn't. Al Gore is one of the leading lights or blights or whatever to privatize the internet in the form of putting as many corporate toll booths on the information highway as possible, where in order to get to one place you're going to find something out, you have to pay up to the ass to this company or this company or this company that had it handed to them by Uncle Scam, just the way we gave away the fiber optic airwaves in the Telecommunications Act of 1996. Gore is one of the leaders in this. Be afraid, be very afraid, and wait till you meet his wife. So for anybody who says, oh, I'm going to have to vote for Gore because he's the lesser of two evils, how much difference is there really between Gore and Bush anyway? They're both pro-death penalty, pro-WTO, pro-drug war, pro-corporate rule, and really, really into reviving the arms race by putting missiles up in space against what? North Korea? Oh, I'm really scared of Kim Jong-il. I quake under my bed. Oh, that's ridiculous. Oh, yeah, right. Cuba, that's the ones who's going to bomb us back into the Stone Age unless we can blow up the world another few thousand times. The danger being if any of those damn things crashes, it blows up us instead. But, hey, at least that's the second coming of the Lord. Yeah, that's a scary thing. Fundamentalist Christians into the rapture in high positions of the Pentagon. Don't even get me started on that one. Basically, the Gore mantra is freedom of speech online belongs to those selling something approved by our corporate government only. I mean, this is another example where technology is not necessarily such a bad thing. It's just that it keeps being used against the people it could help. I mean, I saw a recent quote from Are You Serious? One of the guys from Mondo 2000 and everything early on. The net was a non-commercial space that has been colonized by e-commerce. You know, dot-com cowboys getting rich and tootling around in their SUVs and spitting money in everybody's face in San Francisco and all. They're getting the money while the people who actually supply the content are barely getting by. And of course, another way this is being used against us is surveillance. All these, I guess it's cookies that you call them, where they can get information out of who you are, what you buy, etc., compile it, and then sell it to somebody else without you knowing this is even being done at all. One company called Toysmart.com was recently caught trying to sell information they'd compiled on little kids. Some other companies have been using cartoon characters to get kids to give them information on their parents' buying habits, even. I mean, all this abuse of technology actually reminds me of one of my favorite quotes of Ayatollah Khomeini. All Western countries are bad. Nothing but evil comes from them. But on the other hand, the advent of the web and the net and even e-commerce has also somewhat at least democratized what corporations have swallowed up at the strip mall level, extending the punk-style do-it-yourself DIY ethic not just to music but to publishing, film, pornography, and even being able to sell all those albums that made such a difference in your younger life before you became a dot-com worm on eBay. But not everyone owns a computer, so you're not going to reach everybody going strictly over the net. But it does mean more people can get out there, and more importantly, the only weird mutant in their school or their town can find others across the country and the world and feel like they're not alone anymore. But part of the keeping the net free from restrictions from Al Gore Incorporated is using it wisely. I mean, I'm sure everybody in this room knows a netwit or two who will be on there for hours on end. Even their lovely, voluptuous, significant other can't get them to come to bed till 4 in the morning because they're still on the net. We're treating it almost like TV for those who deem TV beneath them. You've probably seen that, haven't you? I mean, we get to that point, how different is that from the CB radio craze of the 1970s? Anybody remember that? Breaker, breaker, good buddy, am I talking to a real trucker? I mean, how different is that from, wow, I'm online with Courtney right now? Be careful of the information and gossip you get on the net, too. I mean, if it sounds too good or too wild to be true, maybe it isn't. Maybe it helps to get a second opinion. For example, I think it was late 97 now, I found out on the internet I was dead. People from all over were trading all this net gossip and updates and the grisly details of my recent shooting death. And I mean, I looked in the shower and couldn't find the bullet holes, but if the net said I was dead, then it must be true, right? Be careful of stuff like that. And now what I found out is somebody else, I guess, owns my name on the net now, too. Other people own JelloBiafra.com or JelloBiafra.org, and I don't know what they plan to do with it, to try and extort money from me to buy back my own name. That seems a little weird to me, too. But... there you go. We'll try diplomacy first. But my hope is that people who want to use the net for good reasons will also encourage others to help develop sharper and sharper bullshit detectors. As I said, if it is too wild or too interesting or too good to be true, maybe it's not true, and hunt for a second opinion. Especially important because, as the old saying goes, knowledge is power, and that is the power to influence other people in a positive way and inspire them to do something besides giving up and being spectators in their own lives and putting up with horrible dot-com jobs just because they think they're going to get all these stock options. They often never do. You know, knowledge is power, but you got to have the right knowledge. And the only way you can really boil it down to is that tenuous walking on ice known as we all believe what we want to believe. So we got to be careful as to what we believe in order to make it more difficult for the corporations and those who want to dumb down the net as e-commerce is great, e-communication must be stopped, etc. Make it more and more difficult for them to co-opt our culture through Taco Bell's extreme meals or a giant, I think it's a Nissan swine mobile SUV being advertised as radical as we speak. Things like that. Make it more difficult for them to co-opt our culture by using the information highway to breed a generation of people who sees through corporate bullshit and their dishonest media as never before. In other words, don't hate the media, become the media. This doesn't just mean digging, muckraking, learning, and regurgitating the knowledge via the net. It means not just supporting, but maybe helping create underground zines. You know, the whole underground zine culture may well be the most important thing punk rock ever gave the world, even more so than all the cool music. And in this day and age, with corporate media being so dumbed down and censored, becoming the media means going one-on-one with people you know, say in your family, at work, at school, and explaining to them in a non-condescending way when they spout Rush Limbaugh bullshit or hold their nose and say they're going to vote for Al Gore, why that is wrong and why it isn't the eco-terrorists and the feminazis and the welfare cheats who have screwed up our economy and made it harder and harder for you to put food on the table. It's the robber barons who have so much money they can't figure out how to spend it, so the only thing they have left to do is to try and screw more and more people to make more and more money. Wealth addiction, in other words, which to me is a far more dangerous form of drug addiction than crack could ever hope to be. Certainly done more damage to the world. Becoming the media through pirate radio stations. And now we are seeing the dawn of pirate television as well. When I was in Italy, clear back in 81, there were 70 pirate TV stations in Rome alone. But that's Italy. Here now, we've got people like the Independent Media Coalition, which is at least nationwide, who, among other things, had enough cameras out in the streets of out on the streets of Seattle last fall that when CNN said, oh, the police are behaving reasonably, no rubber bullets are being fired, contrary to reports, they got a hold of footage of rubber bullets being fired, put it up on the net all over the world, and within 1 hour, CNN had to change their story.
Pretty dramatic. That's Jello Biafra from the H2K speech he gave here in New York back in July. And you can hear the rest of that. You can see the rest of that. Much better sound quality. Won't sound as crappy as it did when I recorded it off a mono cassette player. You can get that by pledging to us here at WBAI, 212-209-2950. For a $75 pledge, you get the videotape. You'll get a baseball cap with the H2K logo. And you'll also get Jello Biafra's new CD when it comes out, I believe, in November, with portions of the H2K speech on it, which is pretty cool. And also some H2K stickers. 212-209-2950. In that short amount of time, I was only about 10 minutes, Jello touched on a whole lot of issues. And I don't know about you guys, but I thought they were all important things to focus on. They're all something that that affect us. I wish everybody thought, you know, everybody basically put effort into what it is they do every day. And you get the feeling that this guy is always thinking about these things. There are other people like that. I mean, I see people like this all the time. But, you know, we get swept under the rug. People don't pay attention. And a great example happened a couple of weeks ago with the whole Nader thing, the Nader rally in New York. Did you hear about this, Lazlo?
I kind of helped with
Madison
it a little
Square
bit.
Madison Square Garden. All right, 212-209-2950. Call up, get the Jello Biafra package here and support Off the Hook. Support WBAI. We have three calls on the line. Let's make that five calls. I think this is somebody who could affect five people out there at the very least. And this is a one-time offer here at the radio station. 212-209-2950. Again, everybody pledging $25 or more will get a copy of the Jello Biafra CD, which is a pretty good deal. And you'll also get those free H2K stickers. And for a $75 pledge, you get the baseball cap, the videotape, the stickers, and the CD. That all comes together. 212-209-2950. Show your support for the radio station. Don't call us just to get free stuff, though, because that's not what it's about. What it's about is providing you with a voice, providing you with alternatives. I don't think you would hear a speech like this anyplace else on the FM dial.
Especially not with Clear Channel Communications, which owns 897 stations, including six in someplace in Wyoming I've never even heard of.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
A place you never heard of has six radio stations owned by the same people.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's totally crazy, but it's what's happening. You know, I remember back in, what was it, the 80s? No, it was more recent than that. What am I talking about? It was 1996 was when they passed that horrible telecommunications bill. What were radio stations limited to? Was it five owned and operated stations throughout the country?
It was a very small.
I think it was five. It was small. It was below 10. I'm almost certain of that. And now, only a few years later, look what we have. We have entities that own over, well, I think it's over 1,000 stations. You say it's closer to 900.
It's 800.
Whatever. It's a hell of a lot of stations. And here we are. Pacifica only owns five stations. You know, can you imagine Pacifica owned 1,000? I imagine some people would have some reservations about that, but it's something that I don't think any one entity should have, is that kind of power. Because when you have that kind of power, you decide what the news is. And again, let me go back to the Nader thing, all right? This happened a couple of Fridays ago in New York. With 1 week's notice, 20,000 people filled Madison Square Garden, whatever a sellout crowd is, because they did sell out the whole place. And it was an unbelievable amount of people. Now, they had all kinds of musicians there, including Eddie Vedder and, you know, a bunch of people that, some people came just to see these people, but not, you know, by any means a significant amount. But I'm sure, you know, I was expecting the media to say, yeah, these people were just Eddie Vedder fans. It wasn't the case.
But there was also Michael Moore, Phil Donahue, Ani DeFranco.
Yeah. A whole lot of people. I mean, it was a lot more musical than the one I saw up in Boston. You know, a lot of musicians playing songs and things like that. And it was really a carnival atmosphere. Everybody was into things. There was an interesting story. There was this one guy near us who had obviously just gone there to see Eddie Vedder because he was all drunk off his ass. It was like, you know, his teenage kid just screaming and yelling, thinking he was at a rock concert when Ralph Nader was speaking. It was just awfully, yeah, that's exactly what he was doing. It was a bizarre thing, too. And, you know, what's your reaction to something like that, where you get some ignoramus, like, off the street that just doesn't get it, that's just disrupting everything? You want to like, you know, be violent. You really do. You feel violence in you, and it's a bad feeling, obviously, but, you know, the people around us, I got to give them credit. They basically, like, just talked this guy out of being an idiot. And actually, within 10 minutes, he was apologizing to everybody around him. And he just, you know, he left at some point because he was obviously not in any state to stay and listen to Ralph Nader. But, you know, think about that in like a Ranger crowd. I don't think they would have talked to him. I don't think they would have reasoned with him and gotten him to leave peaceably. And that's exactly what happened. I think that's, you know, a great credit there. I expected to see, you know, the media distort this. I expected to see all kinds of you know, coverage as to these dirty hippies showing up and, you know, stinking up Madison Square Garden. Actually, you know, it's all kinds of different people, old, young, black, white, all different religions, races, creeds, whatever. But you know what I saw in the media? You know what surprised me? What do you think surprised me, Leslie?
You didn't see anything about it.
I didn't see a damn thing about it. Only that, 212-209-2950, if this means anything to you, please give us a call because the media is something that that you need to take control of. 212-209-2950. After this rally in Madison Square Garden, it was a drive. It was the last day to register to vote in New York. There was this drive to get people registered at the post office across the street, which is open 24 hours. So they said that they were going to take a marching band and go across the street with all these voter registration cards that they got from the 20,000 people and make sure that they got there by midnight. So, I mean, that was something to look forward to. Now, after the thing let out, I walked over there to the post office. There were a few people just hanging out on the steps. And it was, you know, kind of like a carnival atmosphere, people just hanging out, you know, at midnight on 8th Avenue. And then all of a sudden, there was a sound from across the street from where the garden was. And you saw something like 1,000 people marching down 31st Street towards 8th Avenue, chanting, singing, all kinds of things. And just basically taking over everything that they walked in front of, including 8th Avenue. 8th Avenue just sort of shut down at that point. Now, despite the fact that they announced this at the event, apparently nobody from the police department or anyone else had any inkling this was going to happen. I guess they didn't think it was significant enough to pay attention to either. There were two postal police inside the post office. You ever see postal police?
Yes.
Did you know there was such a thing as postal police?
Yes.
The
mail needs to be guarded.
I don't know what they do there. I mean,
Federal law enforcement agency.
Yeah, I know, but what are they enforcing in a post office? I mean,
don't open my package from BarnesandNoble.com.
I've just never seen a reason in a post office.
Security.
Except for things caused by postal people, a reason to have security guards there. You know, I've never seen, and that's not, you know, it's not a knock against postal people. It's just a statement of what I've noticed. Now, okay, so you had these two guys there, and they were just, you know, calmly patrolling the hallway, I guess, which is what they do every night. And then all of a sudden, 1,000 people start marching towards the post office across 8th Avenue, and you should have seen the panic in their eyes. Oh, my God, what the hell is happening here? And they start running around like mice with their heads cut off or whatever mice do. And so these people, I mean, they're not threatening in any way. They're chanting. They're jovial mood. They got a marching band and a big box with all the cards in it. And they're marching to the post office, and they don't march inside the post office. They stop on the steps. They hang out on the steps and send somebody in with the box so that they can drop it off and have it mailed by midnight. Now, by this point, by the time the guy walked into the post office, the amount of postal police had increased from 2 to 50. There were 50 of these guys. Now, that means there's 48 postal police in the back somewhere doing God knows what. What are these people doing all night? They're just hanging around. All of a sudden, there's 50 armed postal police people running around the place. And the great thing is, whenever you have a demonstration, I don't know if you guys noticed this, whenever you have a demonstration, the cops always come up with these like crazy rules that they just sort of impose on the moment. They say, you can't stand over here. You can stand over there, but you have to look this way if you stand over there. And you can't walk there. Don't even try doing that or you'll get arrested right away. You know, all these rules that you don't know exist. Like, you know, we couldn't stand past the handrail leading up to the thing. We couldn't cross from one end to the other, but we could could go down to the street and cross that way and then come back up. Also, you couldn't walk inside the post office unless you had official postal business. And this is the really crazy part. There were people there taking pictures, you know, including some video cameras of the person walking up to the window and handing the cards to the postal person. The postal police flipped out at this, and they just basically tackled everybody with a video camera. I mean, I guess that was one of their rules, that no, you may not film inside the post office. That's some other rule that you don't want to break. And they tackled these people. When you think about that, that's about the dumbest thing you could possibly do. Here's somebody who's recording the event, and you act like an idiot in front of them. You know, obviously that's going to get on the net. That's going to get out to people. So those are the only people that I saw really getting abused. But then the New York City cops started showing up, and there were cops everywhere outside. And they just sort of, you know, formed this little barrier on 8th Avenue. And the barrier was only about maybe 15 cops. You know, you could just walk around them on either side. I didn't know what they were trying to do. They obviously had no idea this was happening. They had no plan. And they were kind of, you know, in a panicking mood. And the one thing you don't want is a panicking New York City cop.
Yeah, they tend to shoot.
Yeah, so we had kind of a tense situation, but you know, all it was were people standing on the steps of the post office, chanting, singing. It was a really peaceful event, no damage of any sort, and basically getting people to vote. What could be more American than that? So basically, the people inside dropped off all the cards. They had to rip them in a certain way, though. They weren't ripped in the right way, so right. They had to get all these volunteers on the spot to start ripping a few thousand cards. And then that was done. Everybody started marching back towards the front of Penn Station on 7th Avenue, down 31st Street. And the cops were just basically following everybody slowly, you know, yeah. Driving the wrong way down the street, just glaring. And there was no reason to be so hostile, because these people weren't doing anything that was you know, bad. They were chanting.
It's not hostile. They're just observing.
You should have seen the looks on their face that was hostile. And, you know, basically everybody made it to in front of Penn Station, which is sort of hanging out there for a while. And these cops with the white shirts, what do you call those guys? You know, the white-shirted cops? They're the ones that think they're in charge.
The Klan.
You might as well call them that. I think the captains, the sergeants, or what? I don't keep track of their rank and file. But, you know, I was talking to a few friends in front of Penn Station. One of them just comes up to us and says, "Move." And I'm like, what? I'm not your slave here. What is it? I'm standing on a sidewalk. You're just going to walk up to me and say rudely to move like that? We basically just all ignored him, and he walked away. And it was pretty weird. It was pretty weird that these people were taking this kind of strange attitude. So anyway, the point of this whole story is, it was a great event. It was an amazing thing, all right? We went to this rally, 20,000 people, talked about all kinds of issues, marched to the post office, had this incredible demonstration, shut down 8th Avenue, and you know what? There wasn't a single word about it in the media anywhere. I looked all over the place. I looked in the Times. I looked on TV. I listened to the radio. And with the exception of BAI, nobody even mentioned it. And do you know how upset that got me?
The New York Times will have, when they do talk about other parties, we'll have a little bitty paragraph off on the right, and they'll have four huge pages about Gore and Bush.
And on the New York Times website, they did have a story about it. It was the Associated Press story. And that same story appeared on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News,
ABC. Thusly the concept
ABC,
of the AP Wire.
Exactly. One news source. No competition. TASS News Agency. All over again, except done so much better than they could ever hope for. It's unbelievable the control the media has. They can make a story or break a story. Do you know, if that had been put on the news, how many people would have been aware of the fact that thousands of people were marching in the street outside Madison Square Garden, registering to vote, 20,000 people had seen Ralph Nader, but by hushing this up, by making pretend it didn't even happen, they control the news. Ralph Nader is not a serious candidate because, well, nobody wants to see him. Nobody wants to hear him. 20,000 people, that's more than saw any candidate.
Because he talks about things like, I don't know, consolidation of the media.
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
Did you know that one company
more insidious than that.
One company owns 8 stations in Denver, Colorado? One company.
How many stations are in Denver, Colorado?
Probably 9 radio stations.
This signal,
WBI signal, they could sell it for a lot of cash.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of cash.
99.9, right in the middle of the dial.
99.5.
Right. 99. Dude, what is wrong with you?
Get with us,
I'm only on this show once a year, and I know the damn frequency.
Okay.
But here's the deal.
212-209-2950. If controlling the media means something to you as an individual, then now is the time to call and place your vote, because look what happens when you don't have control of the media. You can't talk about these things. They won't let you. They believe they own the airwaves, and that's wrong. They don't own the airwaves. We'll talk about that in a minute. 212-209-2950. I want to see some calls come in, because to Nazi calls come in tells me that you think that's okay. You think it's all right for one organization to own all these radio stations and decide what is news and what is not news and ignore things like what I saw a few weeks ago and whatever else will happen in the future. You can't put up with this. The airways belong to the public. The news should be reported as news, and it should not be covered up.
And like Jell-O said, you got to become the media, and part of becoming the media is supporting the station. You know,
That's
when
right.
you give money to the station, then you are effectively the media.
This is a very rare opportunity here because, I mean, I've been to many cities all over the country, and stations like BAI may exist in some form, but a station this big, this powerful, that can reach this many people, believe me, I think it's really the only one of its kind in the country, because I've heard other stations that are as powerful and they don't devote the time that we do to the issues. And if you listen to this radio station, any time you will hear important issues. You won't always agree. In fact, maybe most of the time you won't agree. But who can say that you should not be talking about this kind of thing? And why would you say something like that? Well, that's what's being said with all the other radio stations, because they don't cover it. They play music. They play commercials. They make money. And that's what they've turned it into. 212-209-2950. One call on the line. Let's make that several calls. I want to thank some people. I want to thank Gerald from Brooklyn for his donation. Abby from Pomona, New York. You ever been to Pomona?
Pomona, New York.
No.
Benjamin from Old Bethpage.
Not the new Bethpage.
Old Bethpage. The old. Yeah, well, they do.
That was
right.
Pre-riot.
And Tim from Greenlawn and David from oh my God, this is like one of these crazy places in England. This guy called up from England.
That's cool.
You know how in England they always have like several names for a town? It's Rabley Heath, comma Wellwyn, comma Hertfordshire. I mean, I don't get that. I guess one is a town or something, and one is a village.
Well, you've been around that long.
Maybe a county. Yeah. That's great. We're getting calls from England. You see the importance of this? BAI signal on the internet is reaching out to the rest of the world. For someone to think it's that important from England to call up, that should tell you something. That really should tell you something. 212-209-2950. For $75, you'll get the Jell-O Biafra speech, the entire thing, well over an hour on video. And you'll also get an H2K baseball cap, as well as Jell-O Biafra's new album when it comes out, with portions of the H2K speech and a couple of H2K stickers thrown in just for good measure. Anybody pledging $25 or more will get the Jell-O Biafra CD, and everybody who pledges will get the stickers. 212-209-2950. Tell us some more about these radio stations, about how there's no choice on the dial anymore.
In Defiance, Ohio.
Defiance?
One company owns three stations.
Wait a minute. They have a town called Defiance, and they submit to this kind of crap?
Yeah.
Irony of irony.
212-209-2950. Four calls on the line. Let's build that up. We only have $390, you know. Last pledge, we had a few thousand, so let's build it up. This is important. It's never been more important. 2 weeks before Election Day, I'll tell you, a lot of people are thinking hard about the choices out there and the lack of choices. You can make a difference. You can voice your vote here, 212-209-2950. Look at that. Six calls on the line. There's people out there. We're reaching people. You know, I was traveling a couple of weeks ago. I went all the way up to Boston, and we get out to most of Connecticut. Do you realize that?
Yep.
This station is heard in Connecticut. It's heard in Pennsylvania. It's heard in New Jersey, upstate New York, Long Island, of course, Manhattan. And, of course, everywhere else on the internet. Look at that. We made it into the second row. Haven't done that
That's
in a
not
while.
Bad.
Seven calls. Keep it coming, please. 212-209-2950. It's never been this important. I don't think I've seen so many people awake at one time as when I went to that rally and just saw all these people together, all thinking, all talking, all having a great time. And to the rest of the media, that's nothing. It means nothing. It didn't happen. It's so sad to see that, but it's great to see when people actually do vote, when they do respond, when they do think, when they do get together and talk. And I have a prediction. After this election, I think people are going to be changed. I think parties like the Green Party, and I don't want to just focus on them because there are the third-party candidates. I saw a debate on C-SPAN the other night, which I thought was really good. I think people are going to start believing that third-party candidates are viable, and I think it will start on November 8th. They'll actually work towards the next election and the one after that and start changing things. 212-209-2950. We have oh boy, I lost count. 9 calls on the line. All right. You know, I hope we have 9 volunteers in there.
This station is the last bastion of public radio because in NPR stations and public television stations, PBS, they're playing commercials.
That's right, commercials.
They're playing commercials. And then when small synagogues and community groups say, we want a little bitty small station, NPR joins with the NAB to kill low-power FM, and they say, oh, it'll cause signal interference. Well, gee, the FCC and all the brilliant engineers seem to be bright enough to deal with your signals.
You know, right. Laszlo, I was willing to settle for low-power FM for, you know, this 10-watt little crumb that they tossed us. But then I got to thinking, you know, who the hell are these people at NAB and NPR to say, oh, no, you know, your little 10-watt station is going to interfere with our 50,000-watt station, so therefore you have no voice at all. We're just going to continue selling our commercials and making money on the FM dial. You know what, guys? You don't own the spectrum. You're given a license. Yeah, you own the equipment. You own the building. You own the little tower. But you don't own the frequency. And it's time. It is time for people to start challenging these licenses. Now, we have to learn more about this. We have to know if the FCC actually takes any interest when a station doesn't serve its community at all. How do you define serving a community? Is it playing the kind of music people want to hear, or is it actually covering news events that affect that community?
I'll tell you what it is. I've worked in commercial radio for almost 10 years, and the way you have to show that you're serving the community, so every station, rock, country, on Sunday morning at about 4 o'clock in the morning, when everybody's, you know, passed out or drunk or whatever, plays public affairs programming, and they have to play a few hours of it to show that they're serving their community. But guess where it gets buried? In the cheapest time slot. Mm-hmm. In the cheapest time slot, because the commercial time on Sunday morning is very cheap.
That's right. And it's hard. Who listens to the radio on Sunday morning?
And it's hard to sell. So,
right, you listen to the radio on Sunday morning. But the point is, they make this ghetto of public affairs programming on every station at the same time. They won't do it on a Saturday night or, you know, even on a Tuesday night. Whereas this radio station does. This radio station's public affairs programming around the clock of all different kinds. And you can always hear something interesting. And if you don't hear something interesting, tune in an hour. You'll probably hear something interesting then. Other stations will not do that. They're out to make a buck. You know, I went to some websites of radio stations, seeing how I could get involved in the public affairs part of their radio station. You know, the only thing that you could email them on their site was sales. That's all they care about.
Mm-hmm. You,
and get this. You'll love this. Go to the K-Rock website. I don't know what it is, but you can figure it out, the K-Rock website. They have public service announcements on the website. They don't have them on the air. They put public service announcements. They type them up. They print them. They put them on their webpage. And that's fulfilling their public service to the community. Hell, I could do that. Anybody could do that. Anybody could put public affairs announcements on a webpage. But they have a 50,000-watt radio station. What are they doing for the community? Now, I don't want to just pick on one station. I want to pick on all the stations because they all are failing the community. And, you know, obviously there are parts where BAI could do better. There are parts where we could expand and cover more people and give more voices out. We try. We really do. 212-209-2950. And we listen. We listen when you call and talk to us.
Now, what do we get when we pledge $25?
Okay. Actually, the guys in Talium, I should have talked to them about this. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to do anything. We just take all the names.
Woman's in here looking a little mad. Yeah. You didn't tell me about no stickers.
We take all the names later, and we simply send everybody a CD. So you guys don't have to write down anything. So I was late with the Mets traffic. So,
yes.
So I didn't have a chance to go in there and tell them that. But don't bother the Tally people with details on anything below $75 because they don't have it written in front of them. And I'm telling you now on the air, and I'm giving you my word that everybody who pledges $25 or more will get a Jello Biafra CD. Everybody who pledges will get a sticker or two stickers or however many we can afford. And 212-209-2950, that is our phone number. It's a sad day, you know. It's a sad day when you realize how powerless you are. But when so many people realize it at once, I think the power kind of gets transferred. And I think maybe we'll come out of this okay.
You want to hear something frightening about Clear Channel AM FM?
Yeah, you really want these people bad.
Well, I don't. It seems insane to me that one company should have the voice on 900 radio stations. It seems crazy that one company should be able to control 100 radio stations.
Imagine if they decided that a particular news event was the number one news event, and they put it on all 900 radio stations. What do you think would happen?
That's what they do all the time.
Well, here's what
they decide. They'll say, this is the most important news item. Run this news item on all 900 stations, and everybody in America will say, hey, that's the most important news item. Wow. Talk about control. I mean, it's amazing.
Here's another exciting part of the consolidation of the media industry. I used to have a lot of friends that worked in radio.